This flash briefing was made possible by a sponsorship from AveXis, a clinical stage gene therapy company. The following content was not developed by AveXis.
Today is Friday, March 15th, 2019. I'm Michael Morale, Director of Multichannel Content for SMA News Today.
A study conducted in Sweden shows that treatment with Spinraza benefits SMA patients in terms of survival and quality of life of both the patients and caregivers. However, Spinraza treatment was not considered cost-effective. This is because it exceeds the willingness to pay threshold set by the Swedish Dental and Pharmaceutical Benefits Agency for Rare Diseases. The study was called Cost-Effectiveness of Nusinersen in the Treatment of Patients with Infantile Onset and Later Onset Spinal Muscular Atrophy in Sweden. It was published in Pharmacoeconomics. Economic modeling in rare diseases can be challenging due to the limitations in data availability. This is true for SMA, where there are no existing economic models. There is very little information on things such as how patients spend money on their treatment over the course of their life, data gaps for disease natural history, and data on the cost-effectiveness of treatment. And this is particularly applicable to two patient populations, infantile onset and later onset SMA patients. Both groups see significant effects upon being treated with Spinraza. Spinraza has been approved for SMA treatment by the US FDA and the European Medicines Agency. In the ENDEAR clinical trial, infantile onset patients who received Spinraza showed major advances in things like motor milestones, event-free survival, overall survival, motor function, and motor neuron health. In the CHERISH clinical trial, later onset patients treated with Spinraza showed improvements in motor abilities. Researchers from RTI Health Solutions and Biogen studied Spinraza's cost-effectiveness. Their objective was to develop two separate economic models. These would gauge the cost-effectiveness of Spinraza in patients with infantile and later-onset SMA compared to standard care. Researchers said that the current economic analysis presents the first cost-effectiveness models in the treatment of SMA. The models represent the societal perspective in Sweden, where the study was conducted. In the infantile onset model, the researchers modeled the cost-effectiveness of Spinraza over the course of 40 years. In the later onset model, they did 80 years. One of their measurements was for quality-adjusted life year. This is a generic measure of disease burden, including both the quality and the quantity of life lived. It's used in economic evaluation to assess the value for money of medical interventions. They also measured how much this increased cost. Compared to standard of care, Spinraza treatment led to a 3.86 increase in quality-adjusted life years, and that was for infantile-onset SMA patients. There was a 9.54 quality-adjusted life year increase for later-onset SMA patients. Treatment also affected caregiver quality-adjusted life years. Infantile-onset ones were at 0.02, and later-onset ones were at 2.39. Treatment with Spinraza per quality-adjusted life years gained cost. This included caregiver expenses of approximately $625,275, and that was for infantile onset. For later onset, it was at $353,638. These models are affected by changes in Spinraza's vial price and patient health state utilities, specifically walking without assistance. This means that when the cost of these increase, so does the cost per quality-adjusted life year. These values were quite similar for other rare diseases. However, when using a willingness-to-pay threshold of $221,862, Spinraza was not cost-effective in both the infantile-onset and later-onset populations, and that number was set by the TLV and considered reasonable. Nevertheless, Spinraza did gain reimbursement in Sweden in 2017, and that was for patients with SMA types 1 through 3. The researchers recommended compiling more data to improve cost-effectiveness analysis in Sweden. Further evaluation will be done. Longer-term data will be available from the ongoing open-label SHINE extension study. This is where patients from the ENDEAR and CHERISH trials were moved to. It was done to incorporate additional evidence on treatment benefit into the economic model.
Coming up next, perspectives from SMA News Today Community Editor Kevin Schaefer.
Are you interested in understanding gene therapy? ExploreGeneTherapy.com has helpful information about gene therapy, including its history and how it is being investigated for the treatment of genetic diseases. Visit www.exploreGeneTherapy.com.
The following is a topic from the SMA News Today forums that was posted in the Adults with SMA forum on March 7th, 2019. Being a Freelancer or Entrepreneur When You Have SMA by Kevin Schaefer. Employment for people with disabilities is something I talk about a lot, and it's important. Jobs aren't easy for us to come by, and a lot of times we have to think outside the box in order to determine the right career path. For me, I've been a freelancer since college. I wrote for some websites and nonprofits during and after college, and I eventually got the job here at BioNews Services as a regular contractor. I was able to utilize my writing, communication, and multimedia skills to help grow the company, and I can do it all by working from home. I'm also able to do other writing and speaking jobs on the side, and I do focus a lot on my comic book writing when I'm not doing things for BioNews. Freelancing is great for me. I make enough to pay rent, cover caregiving expenses, have plenty of spending money, and I can still retain my Medicaid benefits. I know plenty of others in the SMA community who are self-employed freelancers or entrepreneurs, and I do recommend it for a lot of people with disabilities. It requires a lot of creativity and a willingness to work odd hours, but it can also provide flexibility. I often work nights and weekends, whether it's writing or sending emails, but it's well worth it. If you are someone who's looking into freelance writing, graphic design, video making, etc., I encourage you to go for it. It's a competitive market when you're trying to stand out on the internet, but it's also more accessible than ever to start your own business. I can't tell you how many stories I've heard of people with disabilities who have had their blogs or Instagram pages go viral, and these have led to paid work. If you're stuck in a rut and can't find work, think about what you can create and put out on the internet. I believe everyone has some kind of skill that they can market through hard work and dedication. What questions do you have about freelancing or starting your own business? Join the SMA News Today forums today to join this discussion. I'm Kevin Schaefer, community editor for SMA News Today.
The information in our flash briefings and podcast are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. All of our podcast and flash briefings can be found on our website at www.smanewstoday.com. You can also find our podcast and flash briefings on SoundCloud, Spotify, and iTunes. And be sure to follow us on our Instagram and Facebook page as well. For SMA News Today, I'm Michael Morale, Multichannel Content Director.